the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome, everybody, to the first annual Horns 24/7 Specific Things Draft. I am your host, Hudson Standish, and I am joined by the general manager of the Mike Roach Buffalo Bills, Justin Northwest Texans, or are we still technically going to roll with the North Crowley Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in flux right now, so it's hard to say. I will say I'm excited about this. This is an idea that you have been talking to me about for as long as you've been hired over here. You have been excited about this idea. And I will say, like, not just to the point of being like, hey, I would like to do this. Like, you were manifesting it early, going like, we're going to do a specific things draft, and this is what's going to be on it. So we kind of went over the guidelines the other day. I'm excited to get into it and have my first experience doing it.
In the first order of business, unfortunately, everybody, Winston has been compromised to a permanent end. Winston will not be allowed to mess up the show, even though I did enjoy him acting as an agent of chaos on last week's edition of the State of Recruiting. Athena's here with me, my dog, so hopefully she won't act up. Now, I'm sure that most people, okay, what is a specific things draft? What exactly are you talking about, Hudson? Here's the plan. Similar to popular podcasts like The Solid Verbal, a great college football show, and The Total Talk Soccer Show, one of my favorite soccer podcasts, they have differing bits and they call it their own things. And we are going to roll with a specific things draft. A la, we are going to pick 10 unique things that we believe will happen for the Texas Longhorns on the team side and the recruiting side. And we will do a recap show to grade our draft in December after Texas's final game of the season. For example, a normal prediction, something like this could be improved over last year. The specific prediction be that DeMarvian Overshown is going to get 8.5 sacks as an edge, and Jalen Ford is going to be a all-conference linebacker. So instead of kind of broad strokes, we're going to dive a little bit deeper. And from some sources that I've been talking to actually in the Roach household who got a look at your draft board, I know that both of us have a couple of funnier picks that will cash during the season as well. And as fans, we're going to have a graphic. We're going to put up a post on the board. It's going to be partially on y'all to help score us for us, help us score this during the season. So if you see one of our picks happen in real time, you need to be tagging me and Mike like, hey, round 6 pick just cashed during the, you know, Texas versus TCU game. So, Mike, are you pretty comfortable with the rules?
I think so. I'm ready to go. How do we, what's the draft order here? And is this, are we doing a snake draft? How does this go?
Yeah, we'll roll with the snake draft, 10 rounds. So 20 picks, a pretty easy snake since it's just two people. Mike, do you want heads or tails?
I'm a tails never fails guy. So.
All right. We are on audio only. So it is Scout's honor. And it is tails. Okay, Mike. So do you want first pick? Do you want me to pick first? Your choice.
I think I'll take, you know what? I'll take second pick. I'd like the back-to-back.
Ooh. You want the back-to-backs. Okay. Well, with the first ever pick of the specific things draft, Hudson Standish selects, an announcer messes up the details or timeline of the Arch Manning recruitment during a game. So a little background on this pick. A bunch of national college football analysts have already messed up the details and timeline. Stuart Mandel had a pretty famous gaffe on the day of his commitment where he was already fast-forwarding to Loser Leaves Town between him and Quinn Ewers, which was pretty ridiculous. My specific thing, there are going to be a lot of Arch Manning talk from a lot of people who did not cover the recruitment at all. There's going to be a pretty significant detail or timeline mishap during a game. I wanted to go even more specific inside the Alabama game, but just across the season, somebody's going to mess up a pretty big part of the Arch Manning recruitment, whether it's a, like we said, timeline detail, a story with Peyton and Eli, or acting like they're the ones who made the call. That's my first pick.
Okay. And this is that strictly, since we're getting specific here, is that strictly an announcer on a game, or does that extend to, like, I don't know, if they talk about it on College Game Day or something?
No, it is specifically, and I did make sure to say an announcer during the game. It is specifically during the 2.5 to 3.5 hours that they are in the booth talking about the game. Because if we did it to just any college football analyst, like, that'd be easy cashing points. But no, during a game, there's going to be a detail or a timeline thing of the Arch Manning recruitment that's just completely messed up. Yeah.
Okay. I like that one. I've got my easy 1-1 is still on the board that I slotted on my own personal board, and that is the whenever Quinn Ewers makes his first start, whether that be against Louisiana Monroe or whoever it is, we're going to see the baby photo of Quinn in the Texas uniform.
That's a
good
pick.
We're going to hear about how Quinn grew up wanting to go to Texas. I could even throw a, like, maybe a half bonus point in of somebody's going to screw up details on that timeline and everything that went through. But we're going to get the whole ESPN experience, basically, of Quinn Ewers, and, you know, he was born to play here.
It is such a good pick because it essentially is following the Sam Ellinger model, but you get the added bonus of, and then he went to Ohio State and he didn't play his senior year, and oh, here's him in the as a baby in the Texas. That's a good pick. I don't think that messing up the details is a half point. I think that's easy. I'll give you a half point if they do the classic announcer thing where they're like, yeah, he's from the small town of Southlake, Texas.
Yeah, or they even, like, this is just a regional thing that gets me, call it like the Dallas suburb of Southlake, even though it's a Tarrant County. It's more on the Fort Worth side of DFW, but that's just me.
Mike, it's a really good pick. What do you have next?
I'm looking at a couple of possible selections here. I'm going to go with literally, like, I think the first, I'll call it like the first defensive mistake they make. It could literally be like the first 7-yard gain the defense gives up. I could see the message board calling for PK to be on the hot seat and asking about how soon before Gary Patterson takes over.
This one is going to be hard to score, but it is so funny. Basically, essentially, Louisiana Monroe gets a first down, mm-hmm. and it is, okay, so when's Gary Patterson taking over? Just,
yeah.
Okay, that's a good pick.
Or, like, you know, they go right down the field and kick a field goal to open the game or something. You know, and
it's, yeah, like, we still can't tackle anybody.
Yeah, this stinks. When is it Gary Patterson's time?
Yeah, and that one too. That one can heat up, like at the UTSA game or West Virginia. I think that people will give some slack against Alabama. Maybe I'm being too kind. I do think people are going to be able to give slack against Alabama, and I don't see them struggling too much against Louisiana Monroe. But yeah, I mean, that one makes sense, and I think it's specific enough too. I almost want to say that I don't want to credit it unless we get the Gary Patterson combo move in it, because that's a really good pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just go hand in hand with each other. Like, because the question is, well, you know, they got Gary Patterson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely think that they go hand in hand for sure.
Mike, really good first two picks, snaking around to me for the fourth pick of the Specific Things draft. And I'm going to take, I think, probably one of the best value picks. I'm really happy it made it this far. And the pick is, I mean, this was the team that lost to Kansas last year after any sign of progress.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say bonus half point if there is a, well, you still can't beat Kansas, haha, comment in the replies for the first final score post of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like an absolute steal. Just thinking about it, it could be something as simple as like a 10-point halftime lead against UTSA, and it'll be like, well, you know, they can't take anything for granted. They lost to Kansas.
And it plays both ways. It's a negative and a positive. If Texas beats Oklahoma in the Red River Shootout, it's, I mean, Steve Sarkisian, look at what he's done. I mean, this is a team that lost to Kansas last year.
Right, even though they almost beat Oklahoma in the Red River Shootout last year.
Exactly.
That context will not be taken into effect.
Not at all.
It's a good one. It's a really good one.
Okay. You had a Quinn Ewers pick. I am going to kind of riff off it, and with the fifth selection in the Specific Things draft, I'm going to take Quinn Ewers is going to throw an interception, and the announcer will immediately say, you live with those mistakes because of his big playability, and he's a young quarterback still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you're really cooking in this round. You're going with two, like, kind of classic tropes that just
can't almost... you hear Greg McElroy just saying that, like,
yeah, you can, man. Maybe we should, god, I wish maybe even add on something about Greg McElroy talking about you know, his own South Lake experience.
Okay.
Oh, how did I not think about that?
Okay, so for both of our Quinn Ewers picks, if Greg McElroy starts off with, or not even starts off, if he just gives a good, well, I've known about this kid forever because I'm from South Lake, we each get half of a point, and fans, please score it as such, half of a point each.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, listen, when we get the announcer assignments, I'm going to be salivating if he's on the call, just waiting for that to happen.
Right. Or something along the lines of, like, I understand the pressure he went through in South Lake.
Ooh, I understand the pressure is so good. That might be word for word.
Yeah. God, that feels good. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's your second of the back-to-back?
Exactly. So you have two picks, my friend.
Okay, I'm going in this NIL world we live in, I'm going with Bijan Lamborghini talk. There will be mention of his Lamborghini, possibly pictures from social media, but it will always be bookended by, but what a good kid he is, you know. You know, they say he's an even better person than player. Elite on and off the field, something like that, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. So for scoring, you've got to have both. But again, that's almost just a given. That is going to be third quarter coming out of the second commercial break when Texas has the ball, like, just done.
Yeah.
In one of those ones, too, where the play-by-play guy tees it up for the color commentator, where it's the play-by-play guy going, oh, yeah, he has a Lamborghini. Isn't this cool? NIL, NIL. And then the color guy goes, yeah, but, you know, I was talking to Steve Sarkisian. I was talking to Herb Hand. And, you know, really, they just wanted to say what a great teammate he is.
Why would he be talking to Herb Hand?
Hey, minus a half point for bringing up Herb Hand. He was on the mind, actually, because I was thinking about the 2019 recruiting class. So apologies to Kyle Flood, I'll say it, a much better coach.
Yeah. Okay. And then my back end of this pick, I'm going to go with, like, after the first loss, the, like, how quickly does the thread pop up that asks us how this affects Arch and his
games? I'm devastated. I was going to pick that next.
Just a ton of value there. I mean,
it
feels like such a sure thing. Like, now this is what's funny too, is like, will this exercise dictate the way people post on our board? Cause now they know I'm looking for that to score.
Here's the bad part. There are going to be a couple of people, not a couple. There are a decent amount of people on the board that don't listen to the podcast. Obviously not everybody's favorite media consumption, but it definitely will help us police it to where when the first thread like this shows up, there are going to be a lot of our boys and ladies that are allies to us going, oh my God, Mike cashed points. And so that'll make it easier than the normal dogpiling of like, hey, you're a moron.
To be honest, you have like, you really nailed your last round. Like those two insane picks. I feel like the pick I just made is the highest floor pick of this draft.
And what stinks too, it is specific enough to be a pick, but I know it's going to happen. And guess what? If it doesn't happen on our board, it is 100% going to be a tweet that's tweeted to one of us that we have to score.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Really good selection. So, Mike, you have made 4 picks. I have made 3 with the 8th pick. With the eighth pick of the specific things draft, hopefully the first of many specific things drafts. Team Hudson selects. Texas sends out a new 2024 offer before the Red River Shootout. Now, this is not as funny or lighthearted of a pick. This is actually something that I think maybe will happen. Definitely not a sure thing, but something we've talked about on the state of recruiting and basically all of our articles is that the puzzle is almost fully together for the Texas 2023 class. And when you're starting to look at the next possible questions, what really needs to be answered, that's the biggest thing. I do think that having the 2023 class almost completely done is going to allow Steve Sarkisian and AJ Milwee to look at this 2024 group and find a guy to target at seemingly since Julian Sain's trending to Georgia after Arch Manning's commitment and the guy that they were going to go after fully, Dylan Raiola, ended up committing to Ohio State.
Yeah, no, I like that one. I think that's actually a really good, super good timeline because you want that guy offered. And I think Sark would ideally like that guy wrapped up in the spring. So you've got to start making some moves there. Okay. So back to me.
I believe I have one more since we're snaking it.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Totally good. And there's a decent chance this is on your board because you mentioned him earlier, but I'm going to roll with it anyway. Mike, with the 9th pick of the draft, with my 5th selection marking the halfway point for my team, I'm taking over 2.5 Gary Patterson anecdotes, features, song cut-ins, or quotes by the end of the first half against TCU, and bonus half points if we have a CDC reference that's like, hey, Chris Del Conte, he was the TCU athletic director. He brought Gary Patterson here. How neat.
God, if I have to listen to you cash while hearing the sounds of take a step back, I don't know.
Or maybe he releases a new song. He's got a little bit more time on his hands.
Yeah, I do know he was working on something new recently.
Scoop.
That got out there. So, we're going to have to hear it. If Coach Patterson's listening to this, first of all, how are you? Second of all,
what's up?
You know, we're not that averse to you, the person, just really the music.
Yeah. Gary Patterson, one of the best resumes and coaching careers in the state of Texas. Absolute legend. Kind of one of the pioneers of the defensive, revolution that we've kind of seen going to a lot of 5 defensive back sets and everything else. Absolutely amazing. But I no pulling punches on the music. But, you know, hey, everybody needs to have hobbies. Mike, since I'm at the halfway point, let's take a little bit of a break to hear from our sponsors.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
And we're back to the first annual Specific Things Texas Football Draft with your Horns 24/7 analyst, Hudson Standish and Mike Roach. Mike, your fifth pick coming up. This is the 10th pick of the draft, marking, I guess, the official halfway point.
Yeah, I'm already going to say that, like, next year when we do this, we need to expand. We need to have more of a round table. It's fun, just you and I, but, like, I think if we could get – maybe, you know, our friends who maybe Kieran, maybe Steven in here, or the guys that do Talking Texas stuff with you, we could have a good, good old time with like four of us.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, maybe I don't know if he would enjoy this bit. Probably not because it's a little goofy, but a Guy Frazier's on the mind. So maybe, you know, get Uncle Fraz in the mix.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. He's we love Guy, but he's very literal. So,
yes,
you know, we'll see. Okay, I'm going to do what is known in the fantasy football world or the fantasy sports world of handcuffing
my next two
picks, because I feel like they're kind of related. So I'm going to kind of just make them at the same time here. My first one is Texas takes a 3-0 lead against Alabama, and we get a billion Texas's back tweets, memes, whatever. Like, that feels extremely high floor as well.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is the intended recipient of this the, like, snarky national media types who just know that that gets engagement? Like,
yes. It's not – nobody – like, I am not aiming at, like, the people who are like, oh, this is good for Texas. Like, good job. It is 100% the people who are like, LOL, Texas is back. They're going to think that because they just kicked a field goal.
And it's just an easy, like, oh, I'm trying to get numbers on the tweet.
Right. Like, feels like Dan Wolken and maybe, yep, like, Ari Wasserman are, like, prime contenders for this.
Absolutely. Random Barstool other college accounts.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, there's always one weird one where it's like, wait, why is the Coastal Carolina Barstool account going at Tech? Like, what?
Right, exactly. I feel like there's also like a Texas has an embarrassing play and it's like video with Texas is back, but that feels like going too much. So I'm just going to stick to this. I'm going to stick to Texas
like
does something good against Alabama. And that's like the immediate reaction.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm handcuffing this pick of snarky tweets with when Texas leads like Louisiana Monroe by 40 or 45 going into the fourth. We are for sure after last year going to get somebody. And I will say I'm handicapping the odds to be our good friend. And he is my good friend, Danny Davis of the Austin American Statesman, to tweet something about not blowing a lead going into the final, the fourth quarter, when it's very clear they're not going to, or, you know, just winning a game and, oh, wow, they didn't blow that lead.
Mike, that's such a good pick. And that's absolutely going to happen. And like you said, like you kind of mentioned, this one is definitely more geared towards Texas media / even Texas fans, but that's absolutely happening. No matter what the score is, you know, late third quarter, early fourth quarter against Louisiana Monroe, there's definitely going to be a, I hope they don't blow this lead.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, okay. I'm going to handcuff those together. I think they're kind of one in the same, almost two sides of a different coin or two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I mean, they're great picks, to be honest. Mike, you've made six picks. This will be the 12th pick of the specific things draft. I'm going to go a little bit more serious. Texas is going to have two players make the midseason cutoff for the Biletnikoff. If you don't think that is specific enough, I can add a tie-in.
Okay.
The tie-in is we are going to get a graphic. It will not be done by us. It might be done by a Texas fan that has, let's say, at least like 2,000 followers, or a PFF college type that is comparing Xavier Worthy, Isaiah Nayor, and a wide receiver three to be determined. More than likely, Jordan Whittington, and I'd say Ajay Hall. They're going to compare them and put them side by side with the legendary Sark unit out at Alabama that had Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle.
So
it might be a numbers play. It might be sincere, depending on how good this unit is, because they could be really good. But we're going to see that graphic around the midway point of the season, in addition to two of them legitimately being on the Biletnikoff midseason watch list.
Let me say off the bat, I think there's like a good chance this happens, but I also think there's a good chance you could go over on this one. Like I just
absolutely
unless this I kind of like maybe somebody hears this and they decide to do it, and that's all fair, you know. But I feel like this is such a boom or bust, like because it you can look at it and I can almost see the graphic in my head, like it's that likely, but it's also like, you know, somebody might grab themselves and be like, okay, of course this isn't Jalen Waddle. And
of course this isn't four first rounders.
Yeah. So I like it.
And that's what, to me, that's what the specific things draft is all about in the later rounds is, hey, taking some real risk. That way, if they cash, it's a victory lap city.
Yeah.
So obviously snake drafts, we're going a lot of back-to-backs with the 13th pick. I mentioned it. Full disclosure, we recorded the state of recruiting before this episode of the specific things draft. And so I ended up teasing this pick. And I genuinely think it might not be specific enough, but it made the green light. So I'm going to take it. And I literally, you'll hear it a day from now on the state of recruiting. Brendan Marion and Tashard Choice's addition to the staff brought a different energy and much needed juice.
Yeah, whether that be written story or said on TV, I think it's fair. It's fair that that's like an early storyline.
And the unfair part is, I especially say this all the time, so it's almost making fun of myself because
we're doing
it's
some insider trading. For sure.
Exactly. But at the same time, that point is just going to get hammered home, especially because, you know, Cedric Baxter is committing tonight when we record this on Wednesday, and you'll be listening to this on Thursday. Tashard Choice is going to end up with Cedric Baxter, and Brendan Marion has a elite wide receiver group. So it's going to be on the field play and recruiting that kind of really put them both on the national stage when Texas is having success.
You actually might want to go ahead and just cash it, because I think I wrote basically an article following the Cedric Baxter commitment about how Tashard Choice and Brendan Marion are just adding something new to this recruiting staff.
You know what? Fans actually, in the comments when we post this on the board or in our DMs, if this isn't a fair pick, I'll replace it.
Yeah, we've got others, I'm sure. There's a lot of other things that we can go to. Is it my turn?
It is your turn, and this is the second to last batch of picks for you. So you are going to pick your seventh and eighth.
Okay. This one's a kind of a personal favorite thought of mine, and it's just going – I'm going away from Texas on this one. We're going national. I can't wait until like USC loses a game. I was going to say a game they're not supposed to, but it'll be literally the first, whatever the first loss
of
the Lincoln Riley era is. And you know, like how I'm obsessed with like the way social media has evolved with covering teams. Cause it's always weird to me. Like I'm a Bills fan, right? Or I'm a Stars fan. And when I see those accounts are like, oh, we're down by a touchdown. And it's weird to me by them saying like we're, or like, you know, they may just, if it's a 50 point loss, they'll just like post the score and like back at it again next week. And yep. Then the ratio that is coming for them from Oklahoma fans. So much so that I'm going to put a stipulation in here. I want a bonus point or half point if the account is forced to turn off its replies.
Ooh, that's really good. So to be clear, the USC team official account after a loss gets ratioed by Oklahoma fans and turns off the replies. It would be the bonus point.
Correct.
Okay.
I think you could even go hand in hand and say like the next week when Oklahoma loses someone they're not supposed to, you know, the battle will come back. It'll just be revenge killings back and forth between those two tribes for basically most of the season. But yeah, the official pick is just Oklahoma fans ratioing the USC account after the loss.
And here's my question. Are we going to play it true ratio of Oklahoma fans replies outnumber USC total likes? Because I think that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you want to quantify
it. Or are you going to loosely grade it of like, hey, dude, they had over 1,000 replies to this tweet, so.
Yeah, I think that's probably, I mean, you could tell what it's like.
Because it would be funny if you were having to, if you needed the points, USC didn't lose until November, you needed the points, and you were like, hey, I'm ratioing them too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to rally the troop.
Yeah, just I'm posting it on our Oklahoma site. Like this.
Yeah, that, like, hey, that make fun of
POW, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll be my front end pick. I like that. Here's one that's more personal to me.
Okay.
And we talk about this all the time. Is like people think every time I tweet it's recruiting related, and that's just not the case. I mean, it's probably 85% of the time it is, but like I also like hockey a lot, so I tweet during hockey games. And what makes me happy the most, makes me smile, is like I'll tweet, you know, the Stars will do something stupid and I'll tweet some like gif about how I'm in misery or something.
Yeah, how your brain is melting.
Yeah, and people always think it's, oh, something must have happened behind the scenes. Somebody's decommitting or whatever.
Yep.
So I'm going to say, like, I'm going to even trivialize that more. And I'm going to say a disappointed, like, I'd send out a disappointed tweet after the Stars give up, like, a preseason goal. And that panics Texas fans over the Arch Manning commitment status.
Honestly, because you've been so specific, I say we go any commitment status, whatever is the hot topic at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do any commitment. I just think that like, as soon as hockey starts, I'm going to watch it and tweet about it. If somebody will misinterpret it.
The first time the Stars give up a power play and somebody scores, it is immediately, immediately Mike had just, you know, given some explicitives out on Twitter, and people were saying, oh, is Marcus Dila okay?
Yeah, or like, it may not even, I'm kind of a lunatic with hockey, so like, it could just be like, the Stars did not generate any good chances on the power play, and I'm losing it.
I love that. For the eighth pick, that is ridiculously specific and has an actual way to cash.
And now, man, I'm going to be like more motivated to tweet during Stars preseason games and, you know, see what I can do. And I'm not going to like make it, I'm not going to try to make it into something that's not. Like, I will live tweet a game, you know, the way I would anything, but we'll just kind of see what happens. I guess if you're listening to this and you see me tweeting crazy things, check the Stars schedule and see if they're on that night.
I love that. All right, Mike, I believe that was your, let's see. That was your eighth pick?
My eighth pick, yes. So it's
okay. So I have
final.
I have my 8 and 9 picks, and then you'll finish it off, and then I'll have my final pick.
Okay.
So for my eighth pick, we are going to go. This is something that gets us tickled behind the scenes, and I think you'll find this one pretty funny. Chris Del Conte spends the moments following Texas's biggest win of the year responding to trivial complaints from fans.
Yes, let's just say the impossible happens to us and they beat Alabama. And then, like, you look on Twitter and Del Conte's, like, answering for why they ran out of popcorn in Section 8.
Yeah, it literally is. Or like, hey, I didn't show up until I'm a freshman. I didn't show up until 5 minutes before kickoff and I couldn't get to my seat. What's the deal with that? And he's like being patient, responding to them, even though, you know, Texas just finally, beat Oklahoma or beat Oklahoma State.
Austin's burning down because they beat Alabama and he's answering about like why the bathroom lines were so long.
Yeah, but yeah, boosters are like, Chris, you did it. You've
director's cup contract.
Back to back director's cups. Football's on the right path, and he's just like, listen, I'm sorry that your seat back wasn't there in time. Like something happened. Oh, yeah. What a man!
Oh boy, what a great late round pick that is.
With the ninth pick. So the way that things are my ninth pick, I believe in total, this will be the 17th overall pick.
That would make
the sense. The way that the quarterback battle is kind of going behind the scenes. Personally, people have told me since the spring, they do expect Quinn Ewers to eventually win the job. We've kind of not prefaced because a lot of times the over-prefacing of, oh, it's anybody's battle can be kind of annoying when you're just trying to listen to a podcast. We all kind of understand the direction that it's going with, of course, the caveat that it's not over and that Hudson Carr definitely could win the job. But working under the assumption that Quinn Ewers does beat out Hudson Carr for the job, here is my ninth pick personally. Hudson Carr is going to get his Chance Mock / Shane Buechele moment and lead Texas to victory in a close game after starting off on the bench. And so Chance Mock obviously had that Texas Tech game where he comes in and rallies the horns to a win. And Shane Buechele, of course, had that Baylor game at home where it was a pretty close game and Sam Ellinger gets hurt and Buechele, before he grad transfers, you know, gets Texas a victory in a much needed spot. And so that is my ninth round. I mean, my personal ninth pick.
Okay, that's a good one.
And you get to finish off your picks?
Man, there's so much more I want to talk about. I almost wish we could go like 15 rounds here, but I guess we'll do – maybe we could talk about some ideas.
Honorable mentions.
Some honorable mentions, okay. All right, here's one. There's going to be a recruiting decision made that a recruit is going to ask people to respect his decision. That decision will not be respected by the fans.
Absolutely mind-blowing pick.
This is no way it happens.
There's just no way. I mean, college football fan, recruiting fans? Oh, yeah. Man. You know what I almost want to tie in with that pick is a player that is over 100% committed. So they're either, 101% committed to 10,000% committed. They don't sign with that school that they're over 100% committed to.
They've made a 40-year decision.
That lasts maybe 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah. God, that's a handcuff right there for it.
I love that so much. And it's great too, because obviously there will be we have like awesome fans. I genuinely do really love the people that stay in constant contact with us about the show. And I know that there's gonna be probably a half dozen to maybe a couple dozen people that are like, hey, this recruit's decision wasn't respected. I think we can score it. It's that one cashed in maybe 45 minutes.
Win to Mike. Here, I'm going to go for my last. You know what? No. My last pick, I'm going to go with this. It's been weird last couple of years. I can't remember the last. When's the last time, do you know off the top of your head, Texas has had College game day in town?
LSU, right?
So LSU, that's what I was thinking. They haven't given them much reason, and the last couple of times they played OU feels like it's been on Fox. I'm going to say College Game Day is at the Red River Shootout this year.
Oh, I love it.
And I want bonus if Corso picks Texas.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I was literally going to say, if Lee Corso picks Texas, you get a half point bonus. Ooh, that's really fun. I'm trying to think. Oklahoma's only obstacle would be Nebraska before that.
Yeah. Well, I don't have their schedule in front of me. I'd have to look it up.
I mean, normally the Big 12 does try to schedule it to where they're not playing Oklahoma State or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to play anybody. They might play, like, I think in recent years they played, like, Iowa State.
TCU or,
TCU, which is, I mean, it's cost them a couple times.
True. Truth.
But, yeah, I don't think they're getting into the meat of the schedule yet at that point.
I love that as the final pick.
And I mean, I would have loved College Game Day for the Alabama game. That feels easy, but like,
but with Fox at noon,
right? With it being a Fox game for a reason, you know, that's and you know, maybe if Texas was better, if they were a better program, it would be an automatic, regardless of who was broadcast
for sure.
But maybe they go somewhere else that week.
Yeah, and just a slight mini tangent. It does kind of stink that we're kind of rolling into this big. I don't know, kind of TV networks controlling college football landscape where Disney, Fox, and I'd probably say CBS third are kind of all dictating stuff to where it's like, oh yeah, well, College Game Day won't be here because it's on. Like, I just wish that it would go back to just whatever's the best game. You know, College Game Day deserves to be there because it's such a, you know, important fabric, especially for me when I was growing up, of college football. But we could also do like 4 podcasts on complaining about college football stuff.
It's one of those things where it doesn't feel like a big game unless College Game Day's there.
Yeah. Oh man. I will say that I vividly remember my first College Game Day experience when Chase Daniel in Missouri came. I think it was Chase Daniel. It might have been Blaine Gabbert. Cannot remember. I was a child. But Missouri came to town. Texas had College Game Day. Yep. And I was there with both of my sisters who were on campus, and we were at College Game Day. I was so pumped. It felt, I had been to big Texas games. We had had season tickets since I was in kindergarten, but that one just felt different. And Texas just went out and absolutely smoked Missouri. One of my favorite experiences ever, going to a Texas game.
I was also at that game.
Hell yeah.
For me, as loud as I've ever heard the stadium. Was.
I was going to say that, but I was a kid, so I don't, you know, when you're a kid, you kind of,
well, they don't were number have one. Remember, yeah. They had beaten Oklahoma the week before and had been named number one going into that week. And it was the run of, I know a lot about this because I wrote a lot about this in the book, The Road to Texas, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns, a long, long,
great plug.
Comes out on October 10th. 4th. Please,
pre-sale on Amazon.
We talked a lot about it though, because a lot of the guys I talked to were on that team, and it was like, okay, well, you beat Oklahoma. Well, now you've got to face Chase Daniel and Jeremy Maclin and Mizzou. And then I remember they come out and run a reverse to Jeremy Maclin on the first play, and Roy Miller blows it up about 10 yards in the backfield. And we talked to him in the book about this. And the stadium has never – I've never heard it louder for games I've been at least.
Mike, I genuinely, and obviously I'm so excited for football, like all of the fans, but I just have chills even recounting that. I vividly remember Colt McCoy just raising his helmet to the crowd towards the end when it was just a complete blowout and the place just going bananas. I was there for Notre Dame, obviously, as a college student, which was pretty loud, but something about that Missouri game is just special, man.
Yeah, they were number one. I think that's what was big about it. So, okay. Well, I guess I'm out of picks. So let's hear what you got to finish us off. Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh, man. Here we go. You know what? I think I have had a decent amount of lighthearted or fun ones. I'm just going to give one that I truly do believe in team-wise. And I can add a tie-in if you don't think it's specific enough. Jatavion Sanders will be a better blocker. That's going to be subjective grading. And objectively will have better receiving stats than any 2021 Texas tight end. He's going to be splitting reps with Jaleel Billingsley. Sanders will be at the Y. He'll be the inline guy. Billingsley will be more split out and will play the H. A lot of times will be in the backfield and move around. I'm just really buying into Jatavion Sanders from what we've heard during the spring, what we saw in the spring game, and then continuing on to fall camp, what we've heard.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think we talked about it the other day, just kind of talking on the phone of like, what would be a great year for Jatavion Sanders? I mean, is it 300 yards? What did Cade Brewer have last year?
180-something, right?
Yeah, so maybe 300, 350, doubling that. I mean, I think obviously that sounds low if you're just listening to it, but with all the weapons they
have.
There's
a lot of touches to go around.
Yeah, it feels like if Jatavion got 350 and 4 or 5 touchdowns, that'd be a monster year for him at this point.
In addition to the fact that he's going to have to carry such a heavy load when it comes to blocking. Like, I mean, he really will kind of dictate a lot of the point of attack stuff being attached to a tackle. Like, if Kelvin Banks ends up winning a job, you know, like Jatavion Sanders a lot of times is going to be attached to him, and that's two young players having to double team and work to the second level together. So big expectations for him after a little bit of a slow start to his college career, but also kind of proving that he is the special player we kind of thought he was at Denton Ryan when he was just victimizing poor children with those one hand snags.
Yeah, I think so. All right. That's the draft. You want to get into some what's left on your board? I got one.
Absolutely. Before we hit honorable mentions, though, let's just take our quick second break of the draft. We'll hear from our sponsors. We'll come back with honorable mention and, you know, some friendly grading of each other's performances.
Okay.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we are back wrapping up the first annual, hopefully, the fan reception is pretty good. Would love to hear some feedback, you know, some constructive critiques if there are any, because we'd love to do this next year. Mike, it's honestly been a ton of fun. I hope that for you, it was worth all of the me bugging you about it.
Yeah, no, I actually had a good time doing it. There are so many that like I wanted to get picked, and it was like, man, we're already on pick 8. And I've got,
I'm with
more.
You. We need to bring somebody else in next year. You're right about that.
Yeah. I think we've got some easy candidates for that.
For sure. Okay. And let's go to honorable mention. And, you know, I don't know. Part of me too is just so excited because it's almost like an extra thing to look forward to during game days of if this happens, people are just going to be pointing at the screen like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, the good thing is like, or I guess the fun thing for the listener is like, if you hear an honorable mention, it's like, oh, Mike, maybe you should have picked this rather than college game day going to the Red River Shootout. This was in retrospect, like this one. How about this one? How about a Deshaun Jameson kick return being called back for some sort of penalty?
Oh, no. That like one, a touchdown. Cashed. Yeah. That one would have cashed so easily. I feel like there's maybe been 17 different examples of that happening.
Yeah, and now I'm thinking of it, and now I'm like, oh, that probably should have been my pick rather than like.
I had an honorable mention riff off of the Bijan Robinson, Lamborghini talk that was, this is what NIL was intended for, somebody that's like a great person, good on the field. Like the specific phrase, this is what NIL was intended for, not bagging recruits, but somebody being good on the field and getting rewarded for it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I should have picked that, but.
How about this one? I mean, I think we can feel kind of safe with this almost based on what we've heard out of fall camp, but a freshman lineman, offensive lineman starts against Louisiana Monroe.
That one would have cashed easily. That one was almost to the territory of, hey, is that specific enough? Even though it feels crazy because it's so rare for a true freshman to start on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Kelvin Banks, DJ Campbell, even Cole Hudson are all guys that could factor in right there.
There was a national one that that piqued my interest. Texas Tech winning more games than TCU.
Yeah, I think like you could also say like at the end of the recruiting cycle, there's a good chance we get like maybe even Texas Tech finishes ranked above TCU in recruiting, which I mean hasn't been super common, I don't think.
Yeah, or like even some crazy stuff. I mean, like Texas Tech finished above Michigan, like what?
Yeah, something like that for sure. Oh man, this would have been an easy cash too because it just happens every year. A mystery recruit visitor for the Alabama.
Oh, I'm pissed I didn't think of that. I would have probably picked that for the third round. Somebody is going to, and you know what? It could even be us because at times, you know, sources or the staff specifically doesn't want it to be out there because maybe they're committed to another school, whatever the case may be. But if somebody doesn't report a mystery or surprise visitor for the Alabama game, I will be stunned.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the LSU game. Jackson Smith and Jigba was going to visit that week and was basically, I was told by his family, like, if it goes well, I'm going to flip. And they just said, hey, just please keep it quiet. Like, you could say there's going to be somebody visiting, but just don't say who. That's what the family asked me. And so I did it. And they decided near the end, not very well do something like that.
That crushes my heart.
What else is bouncing around your brain for specific things?
2024 commit happens before the end of the season.
Yeah, that feels easy.
Byron Murphy, first interior defensive lineman sack of the year.
I got one I love actually. And it's funny because I feel like I get more into the non-Texas themed ones, more than national ones, but how about the Alabama A&M game? We've got a like an embrace or a handshake on the field between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. And we're talking about how the bad blood's gone. And we're going to review about what Saban said about him in the offseason and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe pick too. Of just like, listen, some social media managers are gonna tell their superiors like, hey, I got some numbies on this one because it's, you know, just the eyes emoji with the sky cam of Nick and Jimbo talking.
Yeah, that one feels extremely easy.
Oh my God, I just realized I missed like my fourth round pick. I overlooked my fourth round pick.
Okay, what is it?
Lack of an answer at kicker or punter shows up at the worst possible moment.
Yeah, I can see that.
That one is so, because a lot of ours were kind of skewing positive. That one was supposed to be like my fourth pick. You know what? If the fans decide that the Tashard Choice Brennan Marion selection isn't okay, I'll just say it. I'm subbing it for that one.
Okay. Here's always one of my favorites, right? There's like a breakout recruit in the first couple weeks of the season who has like some crazy performance. And invariably, like, a bunch of schools will offer and he'll have come from nowhere. And we'll get questions every single day about, well, why isn't Texas in on this kid? And it will usually be at a position they're very clearly, like, full at. So, like, you know, I'll say some receiver from like East Texas goes for 300 yards in week three. And even though Texas has like their full class, let's just give them Jalen Hale in this scenario.
For people sure. People are going to
ask like why they're not running Ryan Niblett out of the group to make room for this kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Just somebody that gets a bunch of buzz. It's like, hey, this top 50 kid, like who cares about him? Yeah.
Just okay. A new fun toy.
I think I have two more honorable mentions for sure. This one is kind of cheating, and I didn't think it was specific enough, but I just quoted an announcer voice. DeMarvian Overshown is bringing something different off the edge for the Texas Longhorns. And the something different, of course, is that he's actually like a really good player compared to some of the other edges on the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even like if he doesn't, it's just it's an easy storyline.
It's an easy like, hey, he's the Nissan Impact player of the game because they're asking a lot of them.
And he wears a lot of bands on his arm.
Yeah. That should have been another one of just like somebody gets some easy clout for being like Deshaun Jameson 16 armbands today.
Yeah, God, yeah, that would have been good. How about this one? How about I'll go serious one with you, like just a thing I think will happen. Give me Isaiah Nayor with better production in the first four games than Xavier Worthy, just because they're keying on Worthy so much.
Man, that's actually really interesting. Almost like we know that Isaiah Nayor has just been absolutely crushing it. He obviously had a really productive year at Wyoming, but they're going to show Xavier Worthy so much respect that Texas is just going to key in on those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, I think so.
For the first four games, that's a really sneaky good pick. And one, too, where I think that maybe people would – I don't think scoff at because I think it's a good take, but one of those ones to where – that's hipstery enough to where it's not just saying, you know, that like Xavier Worthy or Bijan Robinson or DeMarvian Overshown are going to be good. Like that's awesome. I like that. Here's one that we're going to have to deal with and will probably cause us some unneeded anxiety. Recruit will clear their profile of photos, bio, info, commitment status, causing panic, but ultimately nothing will happen.
Yeah. You know, you say ultimately nothing will happen, and I laugh at the amount of times I've had to refute the things. But when I go back in my mind, the only ones I can think of are the ones where something certainly did happen. Like,
well, Bravion Rogers is on my mind for ultimately something did happen because he cleared his he did that exact same thing, and he immediately decommitted from A&M and that recruitment's opened back up. I do remember a couple of times where stuff has happened. I remember Adelia Dayaway was one.
Yeah.
Where it felt like every other week.
Yeah. I want to say Malik Murphy did it last year.
He did. That's right.
People out. Like the one that keeps coming to my head is Billy Bowman. And I remember calling Billy when it happened. And Billy's like, no, I just changed my stuff up. And like, so nothing did happen at that time. And then like a month later, he committed. But
yeah,
it was hard to correlate that to that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's one. I'm going to go over 5.5 Texas commits win state titles. That's nationwide. All states.
I was just about to ask that.
I'm going to go under 2.5 win Texas state titles.
Ooh, some sharp lines.
And I would say for the 23 class, because obviously in 24, like I do think
Field
and Alito both have chances to make state title runs, and that's where their commits are from right now. So
can I try to name some?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm assuming a pretty easy one is Leona Lefau at Kahuku, who we talked about on the state of recruiting, which will drop tomorrow for people that are listening this. They should win a state title in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I've got Spencer Shannon at Mater Dei, which is going to be a tough one with St. John Bosco, but they're one of the best programs in the nation. Sadir Mitchell at Bergen Catholic in New Jersey. So those are three that are potential. Derek Williams could go back-to-back at New Iberia Westgate. The Sauk boys of Malik Muhammad and Billy Walton could go back to back and start the season at number one. Those would be, I'm assuming, why you've set the line at 2.5 for in-state.
Yeah, I like Jonte Cook and DeSoto could make a run, right?
Absolutely, especially if they go D2, which, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are some guys in the class that it's like, okay, maybe Melissa makes a run and Trevor Goosby gets a ring.
Yep.
But I, for one, if Sock wins, you've got to count an automatic 2.
Yep.
For them, whereas most others, you're counting 1, I guess, unless DeSoto won, and then you would have Trey Wisner and
yeah, very true.
But yeah, I think at the end of the year, we won't have that many commits to cover at the state title.
I think here's one more for you, by the way. How about Mr. Arch Manning silencing the haters and getting some revenge, probably against Lafayette Christian Academy, who's a really fantastic school out in Louisiana. But what if he just gets to do the Joe Montana ride off, John Elway. The John Elway ride into the sunset. His high school career gets finished. A lot of the trolls have to shut up, or, you know, they'll just pivot to, well, it wasn't that good anyway.
Yeah. I would love to see it.
A lot of options there. I like that as a, I think that's a selection worthy pick.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably was. Do you, do you have any other like national ones you really love? Like any out, like away from Texas?
One off the top of my head was that, September, October, DJ Uyunglele struggles and Cade Klubnik gets some action.
Yeah.
It was just that one too was just almost too national. Like the TCU and Tech one or the USC and Oklahoma, the USC Oklahoma one still is making me laugh. Those are at least tangential, but that one I kind of couldn't piece together.
I hope it's to like Oregon State or something. And like, I just look down. Because, like, you know, the first time USC's in trouble, I'm going on social media to the thing. And I just hope I look down at the bottom and it's like this creator has turned off comments or whatever. Whatever it says, only people that they follow or whatever can comment.
Obviously, I know that you're not the biggest college basketball guy, but obviously during March Madness, I mean, shoot, last year during March Madness, we were doing a lot of content around Texas basketball, which was a lot of fun, but Auburn basketball's fans are by far the best at this tactic, and I almost think that with them, you know, there's some vitriol and there's some trolling, but for the most part, it's just fun. It's more about our team. I genuinely think there are going to be like some pretty heinous things after that first USC loss that Oklahoma fans send USC's way. And hopefully there are enough USC fans to return the favor when Oklahoma eventually loses.
Yeah, like that's the thing is, I mean, you could see Oklahoma also dropping a game or two they're not supposed to. And then, like I said, it's going to be mercy or revenge killings just back and forth, like like Sunni and Shiite. Like just back and forth,
or like in a wrestling match when there's just like a chop off where everybody's just chopping the other guy.
Yeah, basically exactly. That's what it's gonna be. Oh, all right. Anything else, Hudson? Before we get out of here.
How do you think I did in my first?
Okay.
Honestly, I have one more honorable mention, but I think both teams are really good, and I kind of think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I feel like you went a little more risk reward in some picks, and but on the same token, I feel like there's a couple of my picks that are going to be a little obscure to score.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are enough for each of us to where it balances out. I'm very happy that it wasn't one of us misunderstood the assignment and was like, I don't know, Kelvin Banks plays good when he has to.
Yeah.
Like, or, I'm glad that the assignment was understood, and I think people will like this, but
like we weren't like Texas goes 7-5.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking. Yeah, Texas loses 3 conference games, and it's like, well, you go, okay. any different analysis. And some of them were jokes, but, you know, we did have some bits of true takes in there. One last one. I'm going to call this, since it's honorable mention and it's not going out on the graphic we put out, or it's not going to be in the article, I'm going to title this the Stuart Mandel annual pick of national analyst / announcer foolishly hypes up Arch Manning versus Quinn Ewers QB battle for next spring. So
yeah,
that was one I was thinking about, but also, you know, there's no reason. Like, Stu does a fairly decent job, all things considered. It's just, we were both so overworked that day on the way to State 7-on-7 that when he unleashed that take, it was just, my brain melted.
Well, look, I think I've been clear about this. If you do not follow and track recruiting for, you know, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, I just don't respect your opinion on it as much as I respect other people who do. Like, it's just, there's a lot of nuance in it. Any spending 10 minutes reading anything we had written about that recruitment would have saved that take from going out. And it's just like, no, I'm just going to blow through that stop sign and just do what I want, even though, like,
exactly,
it makes no sense. And so it's just, you know, maybe it's because we always have I think recruiting reporters have a bit of an inferiority complex because we get looked down upon a lot by the national media for what we
by the Medill grads.
Right. But at the same time, it's like when they come around looking for that recruiting clout, it's like, oh, how wrong you are. We poured in hours and hours and hours of time. And I think that's
exactly
what aggravates me the most.
And it's not all, to be clear. Obviously, guys like Sam Kahn, Max Soles, like there are Bruce Feldman, like there are a ton of people that give their, you know, credit or like just know what they're talking about. But anybody that's making that take of the loser leaves town Quinn Ewers versus Arch Manning battle, I will laugh at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, all right. Does that do it? Are you any last words? Anything you want to say to the fans about maybe judging your team a little bit different than mine?
Yeah, just make sure you guys are we did this, I mean, primarily so we can laugh about some things, and hopefully you guys had a fun time listening to this. But like, we do want you to save this graphic when it goes out on the site and on Twitter, because like, bring it with you on Saturdays and score what you hear, you know. I mean, when it's Alabama A&M weekend, if I don't get like a screenshot of Jimbo and Saban shaking hands and the announcers talking about how the bad blood's behind them, I, you know, that's what we want. We want you guys to be able to interact with this. So
exactly. So one of the main goals for the peeling back the curtain for Horns 24/7, since I've come up, is like, we do want to do a lot more interactive content with the fans, whether that is doing a lot more Q&As or like the podcast content. And so this was a way for us. And I will say this, I'm going to make sure to bump the podcast thread of this throughout the season with scores. So it's going to be live scoring, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to hear the feedback. And one more thing I'll say, if you had any specific things of your own that you would have drafted, when we do post it, make sure in the comments to let us know, because I'm kind of excited to hear what y'all will have. So for Mike Roach, this is Hudson Standish, and that is the first ever Texas Longhorn specific things draft. Thanks, everybody.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.